This joy that we have, the peace that we have, the world can't give it, and the world can't take it away. I remember being in the world and feeling lonely. Being in the world and you just don't have a life, really. You think you do, but you don't have a life. And sometimes it doesn't matter how drunk you are or how whatever you're doing, you don't feel like you have a life. You know that your life is being wasted. You could feel it on the inside that there has to be more to life than try not to vomit on your couch. There has to be more to life. But when God does something, then you know you have a life. You feel you have that purpose to live. You feel inside that you are now living instead of just being there. I praise God for his salvation. And today we're going to be talking about the foolish things that God has chose to use. It's amazing how God works. God doesn't choose the big fancy cars and trucks and houses and something that is going to be like, oh man, this is the way it goes. He chose the little tiny things that make us think this is dumb. And he chose that to bring glory and honor and show himself strong. It says in the Bible that God chose the foolish things of this world to dumbfound the wise, because there's a lot of people that serve God based on they think they're wise, they think they're smart, they go to school and they do have a lot of education and a lot of wisdom, but it's not from the Holy Ghost. And sometimes you talk to them and although they use some huge words, you don't feel nothing when they talk to you. And then you could use a little tiny word of if and it. And there's power behind it because God wants the glory. If we use such big words, we're going to blame it on the school gave us this knowledge. But if we use the little things, then we know God is the one that gave it. There is a word that the Bible says don't call anybody. And it's the word called a fool. We're not supposed to call anybody a fool, because that word, I looked up the definition of that word, and it means dull, as if you're shut up, you're heedless, and you're a blockhead. And the word blockhead means you don't comprehend anything. Your mentality levels are very low. It's a really degrading word. It's what Jesus would call them. He would say, you fools, because they didn't listen, they wouldn't take heed, they wouldn't learn, they were just stuck in their own ways and wouldn't move. The Bible says if you call somebody a fool, you are in danger of hell fire. It's that degrading of the human mind that God does not want us to call each other a fool. The devil did a twist. And so he says, okay, don't call nobody a fool because you're in danger of hellfire. Call them stupid. So now we let our children run around saying that word. But if you look in the definition of that word, it means the exact same thing of a fool. So we let our children run around and say that because, well, you're not calling him a fool, you're calling him stupid. That's the exact same meaning. It's degrading the mentality of a person and saying that they are almost incapable of learning. But also, to be a fool for God is a good thing. Probably doesn't make any sense, but it is in the Bible. We will find out. But to be a fool for God is good. But to be called a fool, to call each other a fool is bad. You're in danger of hellfire. And to say that somebody else out there is, even if they don't look like they're serving God, we're still not supposed to call them that because they have a chance like we had a chance to serve God. So when you call somebody that, you're really saying you're incapable of learning. You're so dumb that you're not going to take anything in. And we're not supposed to judge people that low. You know, to say you're not worthy of grace, you can't learn about God, you're not going to ever grow, that's not good. But when we become a fool for Christ, you know what that means? That means when we are a fool for Christ, that means that we are heedless to the world, which means we don't take heed to the world and the things of the world. When we are a fool for Christ, we are a blockhead, which means we are not allowing anything else to come in but Jesus Christ. We don't want to learn it. We don't want to know about it. We are stuck in our own ways. We are only going to go for Jesus Christ. That is becoming a fool for God. And that's what we're supposed to be. It also means to be as like you're shut up, stuck up in your own ways. But when we are that for Christ, when the enemy comes in like a flood and our lives are hit with Christ and we are shut up to only knowing that God is the King of Kings, then we become a fool for Christ. So it becomes a good word for us. If we are that way for Christ, we could be a fool for Christ. We're going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians. I'll be reading this one, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And if we have time, I'm going to give you guys a bonus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at the 18th verse. Then we're going to go to Matthew 5:22. 1 Corinthians 3:18 through 23. Same 1 Corinthians 2:13 through 14. 1 Corinthians 4:10. Romans 10:19 through 27. And Matthew 8:11 through 12. Let us rise. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for another day. Thank you, my God, for all that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for just being so gracious and merciful unto us. Your mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. Thank you, my Father, for allowing us to come together one more time. Thank you, my Father, for being so good to us, to give us the strength, the wisdom, the understanding to come to the house of the Lord one more time. Lord, don't let it be that I say anything that I'm not supposed to say. Word my mouth. Let me preach in the Holy Ghost and not of the flesh. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, beginning at the 18th verse, it says, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. See, sometimes we want something big and miraculous and something so huge that God will do for us, and then we will want to believe and follow God because he's a mighty God. But he doesn't work that way all the time. Yes, he does very big miracles, and yes, he does, he heals the maimed, which means somebody that doesn't have a limb, God has put it on. We read the story about when Peter cut off the guy's ear. I don't know his name. And Jesus took his ear and put it right back on. There was no surgery. There was no pain. There was no nothing. He heals the maimed. He heals the blind. He makes the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. He raised the dead. He does very big miracles. But in order for him to do that, you have to first believe. And when you believe, then God can start working miracles in your life. But you can't believe if you don't hear the word of God. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how can you hear the word of God without a preacher? So it all goes together, but it starts off, you have to first go to church and listen to the preacher, which just a lot of people, that's just dumb. Oh, I can serve God in my house. I read the Bible at my house. I can pray. And that's true. You can. And we're supposed to read the Bible at home and pray at home and search the scriptures at home. We're supposed to. But we're not going to get our faith and understanding without the preacher. How can you hear without a preacher? You have to go to church. You have to listen to the preacher. You have to. That's the way God chose it to work. So although it looks foolish to the flesh, and we may have a lot of things that we think are better to do than to sit down and listen to somebody just preach, how can we grow in Christ if we don't? You can't. Your faith can't be exercised. You can't hear. He's not going to open up your hearing for you to hear the word of God unless you go sit down and listen to his preacher. He's not going to do it any other way. He chose the foolishness of preaching to give us salvation. That's how God works. And so when we're in church and we're thinking about, you know what, I'm a little tired, I got business, I got things to do, let us always remember the foolish things are what God chose. So although this may look very more important, what is the most important thing to us? Eternal life or this little present world? Anyway, we're going to continue to read on verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. See, God doesn't need something big to make something big. God likes to show how strong he is, so he gets the tiniest things and makes the biggest things. He created the world out of nothing. He created the sun and the moon out of nothing. There wasn't something that was there, and then God used it to make something bigger. He makes things out of nothing. He gets the lowest of the people. When you read the Bible, especially in the Old Testament and even the New Testament, look at his disciples. They weren't good people. His disciples were the scum of the earth. One of them was a tax collector. To this day, we don't like tax collectors. To this very day. Just want our hard-earned money, and they're just doing their job. It's really not the tax collector, it's the government, really. But, you know, we don't like, not that we don't like tax collectors, but they just are people that take our dollars for, feels like nothing. And back then, they were worse than they are today. Back then, they will go seize your children. They will sell your child if you owe. They will go to your house and take whatever was valuable in front of your face and did not care. If you had a child and they were of age to work, you'd lose that one too. Your sons, your daughters, they didn't care. You owe, they pay. And so the tax collectors were very frowned upon back then. And that's one of the ones Jesus chose. A physician, in which God said, you know, trust not in man, but trust in God. He chose a physician. What kind of physician he was, I don't know, but the Bible doesn't say. Peter was a very violent man. Always ready to fight. The guy was ready to fight. It's almost like he had anger issues. Anything Jesus did, I'll fight him. I'll go get him. They won't do that to you. I'll kill them all. He was a one-man army in the way of speaking. Peter was ready to throw down. And all of Jesus' disciples, none of them were really good people. And all of them were unlearned. None of them went to school. None of them were really smart people. If you read in the Old Testament, he picked the weakest people that people classified as weak. Even Gideon. He said, I'm the least in my father's house, and we are poor. I'm nothing. And with him, Jesus chose him. So God doesn't need something big to make something big. So when you feel, and the devil makes you feel like you're not worthy to pray, you're not worthy to go before God. You're not worthy to talk to somebody about God. You're not worthy to just be in the presence of God. You can let the devil know, I might not be worthy, but I know somebody that chooses people like me to be able to go to the throne of grace and to be able to pray and to be able to be a part of something that is so big. We can't even understand how big it is. So when the devil tries to tell you you're not worthy, you can let him know, I might not be, but I am the person that Jesus came for. I don't need to be wise in the world. I don't need to be rich. I don't need to have everything all put together. All I need is to go to Jesus, and he will be able to say, I could use somebody like you. We don't need to be all big and bad like the world wants to classify some people, rich and all of that. We need to be humble, and God can use that kind of person. The weak people, the ones that are cast away, the ones that are nobody, the ones that people love to talk so bad about you, those are the people that God loves to use. Because then when he does something so big, you don't sit there and say, I had something to do with this. You just sit there and say, God, thank you for using me to do something so big, because you know you had nothing to do with that. Those are the people that we want to be. We want to be a fool for Jesus Christ, set out of the world, only letting God be God and do what he wants to do. That's how we need to be. We're going to go to Matthew 5:22.
But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire.
Amen. So though that word, we're not supposed to call nobody. It doesn't matter how bad they look, how off they may seem. That's just something we don't call nobody. Because then you will be in danger of hellfire. So it also we don't call nobody that, but we let them call us that. If you want to call me that for Jesus, go ahead. I would love for you to call me a fool for Christ. I would be tickled. It would make my day if somebody was to call me that for Christ. It would make my day. I would be more happy than when they called me Elder Rogers. When they called me Elder Rogers, it was a little spark of joy that went all the way everywhere, you know, when I got called Elder Rogers. And I'm not near as saved or whatever as they were, but just the thought is reminding me, you're just like your dad. I love that compliment. To me, that's a compliment. You could try to say it to be mean, but to me, it's a compliment. You're just like your dad. I thank you very much, and I want to be more like him. You know, so when they say you're one of those church fools, absolutely. Yes, I am. You can call me that all day long. I want to be one of those for God. Paul said, we became fools for Christ, which means we were shut out of the world. We were separated. We were adopted into the royal family. Now the world hates us. Well, that's where we want to be. We want to be set apart. We're going to 1 Corinthians 3:18-23.
Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knowing the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God.
See, we don't have nothing to worry about. God has given us everything. He gave us good and evil. He said, I set before you this day good and evil, a blessing or a cursing. And in this scripture, it says everything is yours, whether life or death or people, everything is yours. We have the ability to choose what we want. God gave us that portion in this life to be able to choose. I want life or I want death. I want to be with the people of God or I want to be with the people of the world. But everything is ours. But we have to remember that we are Christ and Christ is God's. We have to remember that we are bought with a price. We're not our own. Everything we have access to choose, but we need to choose wisely. That we were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So we need to do things to go back with him. But it is at our fingertips. You could choose whatever you want. Life, you could choose death, you could choose riches. You could choose to be poor for God. You could choose to be wise in this world. Or you could choose to be a fool in this world and wise with God. We have that option. God didn't make us robots. God didn't restrict us until we only can serve God and we have no other choice. That wouldn't be love. That wouldn't be really serving God. We would be stuck. We don't have a choice. You know, when we have to serve you and we don't have another choice, and that's not really love. That's not really a desire. You have to tell your children, say you love me. That's not where it's at. You know, I used to play with my children like that. I love you, they wouldn't answer, but we had a little joke that would go on. They would ignore me on purpose. But sometimes I would say, I love you after they grew up. And they would say, we'll see you later, Dad. It would hurt. And I'm not going to say you love me, because that's not the same. It don't work that way. So God's not going to make us do something. He's going to give us an opportunity. But when you choose, Jesus, I love you, I will follow you, and you have these other options, that is love. That is a sacrifice that is well pleasing unto God. That is something, Lord, I could go over here and do this and you would let me, but I choose to be with you. That is well pleasing unto God. When your children just say I love you and they're not asking for money, that is a good feeling. And then when they say, I love you, Dad, and you already know the next line, it's still nice to hear it, but it's not the same. Because you already know the next line is, I need. You know, so when my children grew up, that's very much what I hear now. So, but when you do with God, and you say, Lord, I will be shut out of the world. I will become a fool for you. People could hate me. People could talk about me. I'm going to serve you. Then he can start working in your life. Because he knows if I give them the spiritual gifts and I let them begin to work miracles through my name, they're not going to go cast it before the swine. They're not going to go trade it in with the devil because the devil had something that they liked. He's going to know they will take care of what I give them. They will use it for my honor and for my glory. I can give them anything and they won't go trade it in. They will make sure that they use what I give them and be fruitful and multiply spiritually. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 2:13 through 14.
Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the normal man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Amen. Sometimes you talk to somebody about the Bible and it just goes right over their head. They have no idea what you're saying. It sounds like a bunch of gibberish, just right over. I'm going to church for the weekend. That's good for you. I'm going to the club where everybody's at. You know, it's, you go to church? That just doesn't make sense to people. It's just like, that's kind of boring, but okay. Not understanding that that club and that kind of lifestyle is leading you straight to hell where you don't want to be. But when you are with God and your flesh might suffer because it would like to be doing some of those other things, but you're not letting it because you want to be spiritually fed, that is something you can take with you. And when you die, you can take that with you and lay it at the feet of Jesus. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And then you will have the crown of life waiting for you. That is worth more than anything you can do in this world, because at the end of the world's lifespan is destruction. That's it. But when we are called fools and foolish in the sight of people and wise in the sight of God, that's where it needs to be. He said, don't learn the Bible according to men's wisdom, because a lot of times when they can't understand it because they're not reading it spiritually, they improvise and they make up a story. I think it was Mary and I don't know if Alice, but yesterday we were looking at things online. And when people can't understand the scripture, they improvise and they make a story that didn't even happen. It's not in the Bible, but they make a story to make it. And it sounds, if you don't know the Bible, it sounds good. It will sound like that's probably what happened, and that's not what happened. It's nowhere in the Bible, but you can find anything online if you want, pretty much. And so that's what the world does when you go to Bible schools. If they don't understand it spiritually, they fill in the blanks. And then you start preaching to somebody that knows the Bible or that the Holy Ghost has translated the Bible, and they're like, that's not, that doesn't sound correct. And they really think they know what's going on. And you're like, I don't think so. I probably can't tell you, but I really don't agree with this, because your spirit is not agreeing with something that somebody taught. So, but when you read and you let the Holy Ghost teach you, oh, you understand. Somebody gets up and says something about the Bible and the Holy Ghost taught them too, you automatically agree, because the Holy Ghost is not the author of confusion. So you'll be able to all agree on the same page when everyone has the same spirit of God and the mind of Christ. You'll be able to, yes, that does sound good. I might not can preach it like somebody else can preach it, but I agree and I do understand what they're saying, because it's all spiritual. So when we read our Bibles, we should always pray first, Lord, let the Holy Ghost lead me and guide me and tell me what you're saying, and then we will be able to understand. And we're going to 1 Corinthians 4:10.
We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised.
And that's a lot of the leaders of the world, a lot of the leaders of the church. The devil fights the leaders of the churches so bad and hates them and mocks them and criticizes them and puts them down, because he wants them to stop leading the people the right way. And so he says, we're despised. You guys are. The congregation a lot of times aren't despised as bad as the one that is preaching. They're despised. You got a lot of the leaders, the congregation that followed Jesus, they didn't get beaten, crucified, but his disciples sure did. Because the devil does not want someone to lead you to do good. If he only gets the congregation, the leader still is leading. The people will still follow. But if you stop the one that's leading, everybody gets in a circle, in a big mess up, because there is no leader. He said, smite the shepherd and the sheep will go astray. They took Jesus out of the picture and everybody scattered. You know, so they always try to go, the devil always tries to go for the one that's leading, the pastors, the bishops, the deacons. That's why when we're young and we're in church and God is getting ready to use us, you can understand the devil will try to start fighting. Oh, God's going to make another leader. I got to stop this before it starts. Because God's going to get, because I can't lead everybody. The world is too big for me to preach to everybody. But if he has all of us making disciples out of all of us, you think the devil's going to just leave you guys alone? No. Then I can't let this start. I got to stop it. So he starts fighting and people start talking and it starts getting ugly. But you should know that if it's getting ugly, that means it's going to be really good. So I got to keep on going. We are despised, but it's well worth being despised. We're going to Romans 10, 19 through 21.
But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people.
See, when the priests and the Levitical priesthood and all of that, they had God had told them how to sacrifice, and then they let it all go to their head. And then when Jesus came and was trying to tell them to change it from doing it in the flesh to doing it spiritually and in your hearts, they were too wise for that. Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. I know the way. I know the law. I'm the priest. I got this. This is the way to do it. We're not going to change. And Jesus wasn't changing anything. He was perfecting everything. He wasn't telling them, don't serve God. He was saying, serve him from your heart and not just the outward appearance. He wasn't telling them, don't give a sacrifice. He was saying, stop killing the lamb and start killing your own flesh. Let your flesh be the living sacrifice. He didn't give away with the sacrifices. He just changed the sacrifice from the little lamb to yourself. Now you need to live a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So Jesus wasn't changing anything. He was perfecting everything. But they were so wise, they didn't want to change. They knew what they were doing according to them. So then he said, you know what? I'm going to go to the Gentiles and they will receive me. They are a foolish nation. They are set in their ways. They're stuck in their ways. They don't take heed to nothing. But if I talk to them, they will listen. How many times did he say, you know what? If I would have did the same works in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. Because the world will receive Jesus a lot faster than the ones that call themselves Christians. The world will take heed to what God is trying to say a lot faster than the ones that were born and raised in the church. And so he says, with a foolish nation, that same nation that doesn't want me, if I show my miracles in them, they will take me and you will miss out. He said, they're going to come from the east and from the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the children of the kingdom will be cast out because you don't want to listen. You already think you know everything. We don't know everything. We need to learn daily. Nobody can say and be telling the truth they know it all, because we don't. I, 43 years old, grew up in the church, grew up with parents, would crawl in Pop's bed and read to me, and he would tell me the stories, and I would lay on the couch with my head on my mom's knee, and she would pray and read, and for many, many years, I don't know a fraction, hardly, of what's in here. There's so much to learn and so much more to know. There's no such thing as I know it all. There's no such thing. There's so much to learn. I still learn in Genesis, and I've read that book I don't know how many times, because I would always try to read the whole Bible and I would never really get past Genesis. And so I would restart and restart and restart. And so Genesis is a very popular book that I've read a lot of times. And I could read Genesis and still learn out of Genesis, because it is a lifetime Bible. It is no such thing as we know it all. So he said, I'm going to get a nation, a foolish nation, a nation that is just blocked out of me and wants to just go with the world and wants to satisfy the flesh and don't want no part of me, I'm going to get them and make you jealous. And it works. And I did that on accident. I didn't even mean to. Remember that little girl that used to come to this church named Alexis? Okay, she's not my daughter. She used to call herself my daughter, but she's not my daughter. But my two daughters, they wouldn't listen. And then Alexis would listen and do everything I asked her to do. And so then when she wanted something, she would say, hey, could you take me to get ice cream? And I'd say, sure. And oh man, Ayana and Levada, they started trying to act real good, real quick. That's not even your daughter. But she's obedient, so she could deserve a reward. And they started trying to do it. And I was like, you know what? That's what God does. He starts blessing the world, and then his people are like, oh, well, we want those too. And then we try to follow, but God shouldn't have to do that with us. We should just want to be with God. As much things as he's done for us, that should be a no-brainer. You know, as much as he's done for me personally should be a no-brainer. Most of the meals I eat, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you, especially Mary's house, has heard a lot when I say, I remember when I couldn't eat this. You know, it just brings back those memories of what God has done for me. It should be a no-brainer for me to give God all of my life, all of it, of what he has done for me. When I was cutting that tree, even when we first went to the woods and cut trees, I smelled the sawdust, and I was like, oh, this is nice. I couldn't do this before. I would go into a serious asthma attack for sawdust. And now I'm over there falling a tree that's too big for my own chainsaw and enjoying my life. I should be just thrilled to give God everything because he gave me everything. He has done miracles for each and every one of us. None of us can say truthfully that God hasn't done nothing for me. He has done something for all of us. We should just really want to give God everything. Matthew 8. 11 to 12.
And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Amen. Saints, let's not let that happen. God has given us an opportunity. He chose the foolish things in this world to dumbfound the wise. He chose the weak things to make something so strong. He chose the tiniest things to make something so huge. And it's good that he did it that way, otherwise none of us would be here. I wouldn't be here. If God would have chose the scum of the earth, I wouldn't be right here. I feel like I was probably the bottom of the barrel that was on the ground. I feel ugly. I used to be. And if God would have just been like, you know, that's that, I wouldn't be here today. But because God chose the ugly, I'm here today. Because he chose the weak, I'm here today. Because he had mercy, I'm here today. Because he had compassion, I'm here today. It wasn't because I was good, because I was obedient, because I loved the Lord. None of that. That wasn't even in the picture. It was because of his mercy, his grace, his compassion, why I'm here today. And I don't want him to have to go and get somebody else that doesn't want God in order to make me jealous so that I can go serve God. I don't want him to have to go through all of that. I want him to know that Alan will serve me because of what I have already done for him. I want to be able to just say, Lord, here am I because you've already given me everything. He gave me hair, he gave me skin, he gave me eyesight, he gave me health, he gave me strength, he gave me life. When the doctor said he's born this way and he will be that way for the rest of his life, I had somebody that said, that is not true. I know my God can heal my baby if it takes 5 years. So it went from the rest of his life to a 5-year span because God is good and he listens to us and he cares about us and he wants to see us prosper and he wants to do us good and he wants to see us successful. He doesn't want to see us in pain and struggling and hurting all the time. He doesn't want that. He said he doesn't get pleasure in destroying the wicked. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So when it looks foolish, if God ever tells you to do something and it looks foolish, remember, that's what he chose to do something big. It doesn't make sense to lift our hands in prayer. That, like, what's the point of raising our hands when we praise God? What's the point? What does that do? But he chose it. And he chose it so much until he said, you ought to always pray, lifting up holy hands everywhere. Although it sounds foolish and doesn't, I don't know what it does. And I don't know if you guys know what it does, but it works. And he loves it so much till the world does the same thing. Get happy and see what's one of the first things you do. Exactly. It doesn't matter if it's a football game, whatever. You get excited and that's the first thing you almost do, throw your hands up. But then when it comes to praying and being in church, we get embarrassed, not knowing that that is a very important thing to do. It might sound foolish, but do it. Another thing that sounds foolish in the eyes of people is to pray. You get on your knees and you begin to pray and just, it gets boring. Sometimes it's just like, man, I prayed and now I prayed again. I'm praying the same prayer because I don't know how to pray. And it's over and over and over again. Try to pray 40 days in a row every morning for an hour. You will repeat yourself constantly. Well, I do. But when I begin to think, you know what, this is the same prayer over and over again. You know what, the angels, they say, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And guess how many times they say that? All the time. All the time. They don't stop. The Bible says they rest not night and day saying, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. They don't rest. They don't take a break. They don't stop. It's a constant same praise over and over again. So God will love the same little prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for waking me up this morning in my right mind. If you put that on repeat and you really mean it, though, he will honor it the same, because he said 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years. So if you pray that prayer every day, he had to wait 1,000 years just for you to say, thank you, Jesus, for waking me up. So it's not a problem to pray the same prayer if it's coming from your heart. You could pray the same prayer every day, all throughout the day. Lord, thank you because I made it another hour. Thank you because you brought me another minute through the day. There's people that get in car accidents that don't even make it home. People that die before they even make it to their destination. People that have walked out of their house and got a heart attack and dropped, didn't even make it to their car. But God has taken us hour by hour, and then we want to say it's boring to pray the same prayer every day. No, it's not. It takes the foolish things that God has chosen. So it might sound foolish to us to pray the same prayer every day, all day, but it is an honor in the sight of God. Another thing is to give God thanks for everything, especially when it's not good. It's the hardest thing I think I've ever had to do. And Alice said it yesterday or Friday. And I had been battling with it, but I was trying to let it go, but it wasn't sinking in. But I don't like to feel like I get ripped off. I really don't like that feeling. I took my truck to get it fixed. They promised a couple days. It ended up taking, I don't know how long, but way longer than they said. And I got my truck back, and it was worse than when I took it in there. And I was mad. I was furious. And then the guy just acts like he did me the biggest favor. And I was so mad. I just said, Lord, please don't let me be mad. It's material thing. It's materialistic. I don't want to be mad. I'm not going to let it bother me. It's not going to go on loop-de-loop. Because it started going on a circle, on a replay. And things I could have said and things I could have done. And I wished that they would get caught. And I, Lord, I don't want to think this. I don't want this in my head. I don't want to do this. And I was fighting and praying about it. And then Alice says that on Friday. And I was like, you know what? I really got to let this go. And I was trying my hardest to let it go. And finally, I just said, Lord, I don't like those guys. They did me wrong. I feel like they took stuff off of my truck. I feel like it's worse than when I gave it to them. But it's not mine, it's yours. So whatever they did to me, they did it to you. If you're not mad, help me not be mad. And he let me let it go. I'm like, fine. Now I get in the truck and it's very hard to steer. I mean, that truck is messed up, but it's not a problem anymore. Because they didn't do it to me. They did it to the Lord. And if Jesus can deal with it, so can I. He gave me the truck anyway. It lasted a lot longer than I thought it was going to last. So that in itself is a blessing. And I still can drive it. So I just try to let it go. And the Lord blessed me to let it go, because it's foolish to the flesh to turn the other cheek. But he said, if they hit you on the one cheek, turn the other one. If they sue you, give them more. If they compel you to go with them a mile, go with them twain. Just seek for the things that make peace, because it's pointless to hold on to grudges and anger and hatred and frustration, it doesn't do no good. All of those thoughts that were going through my mind didn't fix the steering. It didn't fix the problem. It just made me miserable. It didn't do anything but make me think more and more. And the more thoughts you get, the more the devil could feed. And just, you get this whole picture of vanity because none of it happened. You know, then what if I just got used to driving a truck that had really good steering and forgot how hard mine was? And I thought about that too. I don't think that's the problem, but maybe. So I try to do a lot of scenarios, but the bottom line is, don't hold on to things of this world. That's when you know you're holding on to something a little bit too much, when it can get you frustrated, when it can get you angry. See, when they took everything Job had, he didn't care. The Lord gave, the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, I probably would have rent my clothes too for my children. His children got killed. And he rent his clothes and he was miserable, but he never cursed God or charged him foolishly. He was not upset. He was probably full of ansia, but he never charged God foolishly. He never lost his integrity, which means he never complained. Yes, at the end when he got sore boils, he cursed the day he was born, but he still didn't charge God foolishly. That's how we're supposed to be. And then let me know, Alan, you held on to your truck a little bit too much for it to be it's frustrating to you. You were holding on to it a little bit too much. You need to not hold on to anything in this world. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. If somebody comes and takes it from you, it's not supposed to bother you that bad. If they forcefully take it from you, basically steal it from you, you're not supposed to be that upset because you don't hold on to it. These are the things that are foolish in the sight of us, but so honorable in the sight of God. And he chose the foolish things of this world. So when God puts something on your heart and it sounds foolish, remember, this is what Jesus chose. It must have a very good meaning to it. Like washing the saints' feet. It's a commandment of Jesus, and so much so, till he said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. That's how important washing the saints' feet are. And then he says, as I have done, do ye likewise to one another. And to me, that doesn't make any sense. It kind of did back then a little bit, because they didn't have shoes like we have, so their feet would get a lot more dirty and dusty, so it was a respectful thing to wash somebody's feet. We wear shoes. And so to me, it doesn't make any sense, but back then, it was all a spiritual thing. It was never just the flesh. So it might not make sense, do it anyway, if it's in the Bible. Because God chose the foolish things to dumbfound the wise, and when you do what God wants, it always has a perfect meaning to everything. Another thing is to be loud. That's embarrassing to me, to be loud in church. But you know, whenever you read, they shout it out with praise with a loud voice. It says a loud voice. And then we want to pray all quiet and humble. Well, that's good, but do that in your closet, quiet and humble. But in the house of God, get loud. Get loud. He said, they praised me with a loud voice. He wants us to be loud, and it doesn't make any sense. Because I automatically think God hears our cry, our thought. He knows I'm shouting on the inside, and probably, but he also wants you to let it out too. And it's embarrassing. I know. I don't get all loud in church. I look at Weston. Weston's loud in church. I'm like, man, I want to be like that guy. I want to be this, but I hate today. Laura's more loud than me. Pastor Benjamin's a very loud man. But it's embarrassing for me to be loud. And I try. I do try to be loud. But it's embarrassing. Sometimes I'm like, you know. But those are the things that God honors and loves and wants. And go to the world and they are loud. You go to some concerts and you come out and your ears are ringing for a day or so later of how loud they are. Go to some of these fights and they are so loud. The more blood people see, the louder they get. The devil is loud and he knows what God likes and he uses what God likes. And then the children of God go to church and you got Pastor Allen sitting over there like, I'll clap my hands, but I'm about to start shouting. I want to, but I'm embarrassed. And so we got to get out of this shell. We have to break out of this shell. We can't be embarrassed. We can't be ashamed. Because really, a lot of that falls under a category of pride. It really does. I'm way too much for this. I can't be seen doing all of that. You know, it really falls under pride that we hate to admit that we have. But we really do on some certain level. It seems foolish. Why would I go dance with all of my might? Nobody's even here. you know, and then the people get here, but there's too many people. So it's always an excuse that we come up with to do something that God loves. He loves it. David danced with all his might. I mean, he, with every inch of strength that David had, he danced with it. And what did God say about David? A man after my own heart. Because that's what God loves. Dancing, shouting, getting loud, praising him with a loud voice, lifting up our hands, giving him praise and thanks. The same thing if you have to over and over again. He honors that. It's foolish to us, but God honors that. So from now on, especially in this new year, we have to be different. We can't stay the same. I don't care if I trip. I don't care if I fall, because that's one of my main things, is crashing and tripping if I dance. So I have kind of stepped once or twice, but I make sure there's plenty of space. Because that's one thing that I think about. You know, what if you trip over the corner? What if you fall? It's going to be so embarrassing. And it might be. But how happy do we get to even see little Isaiah try to dance and then fall and get up and keep doing it? It's the cutest thing. It's the cutest thing to see him do that. Hey, bro. I remember when you used to have long hair. When you say thank you, dear, Abram used to say thank you, Jesus, with everything he had. He was on it. That's the way we're supposed to be. Not just quiet and shy and Lord, I know you're good, but I'll do that by myself in my house. But if the neighbors are home, then I'll turn it down a little bit. So we're not supposed to be like that. So we got to change things. We have to remember the foolish things God loves when it's like that, not the world foolish. So this next year, including myself, we got to be more loud, more amp, dance more, shout more. If you don't know how to dance, I don't know how to dance, jump, do something, something. Make the church, like Mom used to say, give me something to liven this up. We got to liven it up some kind of way. We have to. We're restricting the Holy Ghost when we feel it on the inside and our legs want to move and we say you can't because the cord's right there. That's no. We are hindering the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. When we feel like clapping our hands, but nah, nobody else is clapping. We're hindering the Spirit. We can't do that. Going on in this next year, we just can't. We want to grow spiritually, then let's grow. And these are the things that we need to break out of our shell with. And get uncomfortable. If that's what it's called, then get uncomfortable. We want to serve God only if we're comfortable. That's not the way that works. Get uncomfortable. Get out of our shell. Get loud. If they laugh, they laugh. If they don't, they don't. As long as Jesus smiles, then we're good to go. That's what we need to do. So this year, including myself, we're about to become fools for Christ. We're about to get silly. And just go for it and watch what God will do. Because when God's happy, you don't have a choice but to be happy. When God loves what you're doing and he comes and he inhabits the praises of Israel, oh man, isn't that what we want? Or do we want him to say, I'm going to go see what my children are doing and we're over there. God, I know you deserve the praise, but aren't you? Really? I don't want him to do that to me. Well, I would have blessed you, but there was too many people looking, dude. So I'm not going to bless you because you got your neighbors, man. They're watching. I can't do that. I don't want him. I need his blessings every day, all day. When I get, Lord, I need you. I don't want him to say, well, the angels are here. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that for you. I don't want that. When I cry, I want him to answer. Lord, I need you. I want him to be, what do you need? So the same thing, when it's time to give him praise, I need to tell the flesh, you need to shut up. I got somebody to praise. I got somebody that deserves all of it, and you're joining with me. You're stuck to me, you're coming with me. We're going to praise God. Saints, this next year, we're going to get a little bit more crazy up here. Because David told his wife, when she despised him in her eyes, he told her, this is paraphrasing, you thought that I was dancing? Wait, just wait. I will do more than what I just did, because that's how good God is. David said, you haven't seen nothing yet. I'm going to give God more because of how good God is to me. He gave me my strength, my limbs, my legs. There was a point in my life when I couldn't even get on the floor to push a car. There was a point in my life where my body was so swollen because I had no skin and I was scratching so bad until my body was so swollen you could hold me on your hand and I was just straight. I didn't bend. And now I can bend Now I can dance, but I'm embarrassed. I wasn't embarrassed when I was crying and asking for help. I wasn't embarrassed when I was over there in North Carolina throwing up and sick and tired of being sick and tired. I wasn't embarrassed to cry down the street saying, Lord, why can't I change? I don't want to go to hell. Sitting in the car, tears running on. I didn't care what was going on. I needed Jesus. I wasn't embarrassed that day. Cars on the side of me, I didn't even care what they saw. I needed Jesus. I knew I was going to hell. I wasn't embarrassed. But now that God done did everything for me, now I come to church and I'm embarrassed to praise you. That math don't matter. I was really happy the other day and I started crying this crazy guy in the car pulled off the side of me and I was like, come on, man. I'm very embarrassed person. I just am. When I was in the club, I was the same way. I didn't dance. I was not that guy on the dance floor. I was on the balcony enjoying watching people dance because I'm not the guy. I'm a very embarrassed person. But I don't want to be that way with God. Saints, let's get it. Let's serve God. Let's show him our appreciation. Let's show him how good he is, how awesome he is. The foolish things, it doesn't matter. That's what God chose. Let's do it. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The altar is open if anyone wants prayer. Just come up. We need to pray for Mikey. She's not doing good. And for Ezekiel, because when parents go through what parents go through, it's hard on the children. Father, don't let it be that this lesson has fallen by the wayside. Don't let it be that it fell among the thorns. Don't let it be that it fell upon stony ground. But let this word have landed upon good ground, my God, that we may bring forth a hundredfold in the name of Jesus, that you will take away all the embarrassment, my God, that you will take away all the shame, my God. You said if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. Lord, you said if you confess me, I will confess you before my Father. My God, in the name of Jesus, don't let us be ashamed of you. Don't let us be embarrassed of you. Don't let us, my God, but when you let the Holy Ghost fill our hearts, when the Holy Ghost fills our minds, when the Holy Ghost fills our legs, when the Holy Ghost fills our hands, if you want to move, let us move, my God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, take away all the shame, take away all the embarrassment, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that whenever Harvey says he's going to go for you, Lord, let's make compassion for him and tell the Father he is coming to us. Prepare the way in the name name of Jesus. Lord, and when his friends and his family begin to make fun of him, Lord, let the joy of the Lord arise in his heart, that he will know that you are well pleased with his sacrifice. In the name of Jesus, that his feelings will be put under subjection, and that he will let the feelings of the Holy Ghost arise in the name of Jesus. My Father, you said, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and have them pray over you and anoint you with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord will raise them up. And if they've committed any sins, they shall be forgiven them. My God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, make me worthy to pray the prayer of faith. Not for my goodness, but for thy great name's sake. In the name of Jesus, my Father, remember Eric, oh Lord God, and heal him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, from the inside out, my God. And if he's committed any sins, forgive him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, my God. Lord, I thank you and I praise you, oh Lord God. My Father, I thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done. Lord, remember Adam in the name of Jesus. You said search for the old paths, and when you find them, walk therein. Lord, when you begin to lead him, Lord, let him follow. Let him understand your ways. Lord, let him understand what's going on in his life. My God, that you will be able to take him to higher heights and to deeper depths, my God. That you will be able to word his mouth. That you will be able to lead him and guide him. That he will be able to follow after you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, set the path straight before him. In the name of Jesus, don't let him turn to the right hand. Don't let him turn to the left. In the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. My Father, remember us in the name of Jesus. Lord, keep us and guide us and hide us under the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. Don't let it be that we turn to the right hand or to the left. Lord, don't let us be ashamed to dance for you, ashamed to get loud for you, ashamed to clap our hands, ashamed to lift up our hands, ashamed in the name of Jesus. You said they praise you with a loud voice. Thank you, my God. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for all that you have done. My Father, as we move forward, Lord, let us move forward in you as we draw nigh unto you. Draw nigh unto us, oh Lord God, as we praise you. Lord, receive the praise, receive the glory, receive the honor in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the praises go out before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, inhabit the praises of your people. Inhabit the praises of Israel, my God. Dwell among us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you and I praise you, Lord. Don't let us hinder the Holy Ghost. Don't let us quench the Spirit. Don't let us, my God, but let us be free. Free in the name of Jesus. Free to worship and to praise you, my God. Lord, I thank you and I praise you, my God, for all that you have done. You are worthy, my God. You are worthy, my God. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy. You said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lord, teach us how to lift your name up in the name of Jesus. And you will draw all men unto you, my God. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Let your will be done in this church, my God. Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory be to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, my God. Thank you, Lord.
Glory, glory, glory.
You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy.